or the new song, but not the sphere of influence of singing or overseeing the worship band as God would have Karen doing right now. Now, Karen realizes God's bringing in some awesome musicians, but she, and we don't have jealousy in this area, what she sees is, oh, but I'm going to be traveling and I'm gifted in solos as well as overseeing this, as well as singing when I'm there. In other words, there begins to see the concept of expansion for God's glory if people can find exactly where it is God's going to place them for when and why and not be jealous of one another. Okay, do you understand that? You can say that in your family situations. And most jealousy starts more than likely when their baby number one meets baby number two. And then parents who are codependent anyway and not free in themselves will many times relate to the child who is either more like them or the child who is less like them, to the point of really causing their own children to come against each other until you really get free in the things of God. And they'll play that. They'll play that up because they're trying to meet a need in themselves. You'll see it. It's called, there's undermining going on. They'll undermine other relationships. There, if a mother is not happy necessarily in the marriage, she could use undermining her husband to have a relationship with her child that's codependent to make the husband feel left out. I mean, it goes on and on. The scenarios of what Satan can do is just amazing if you don't get free from jealousy, okay? So I want you to see some of these areas a little clearer. I know people got some freedom last week, all right? But this jealous thing makes you suspicious of a rival's influence. The Lord showed me this with me, and this is so goofy, and it's very humbling. I was, the Lord set me free. Ah! But I saw someone who knew that someone else in this ministry is very dear to me, and God's having me really mentor this person. And then I saw this other person who is representing a rival in my heart, I guess. I didn't know it till God's kind of showing it to me to really go deeper in this than I've ever been before. I actually think that probably would have maybe represented Terry. I didn't know that. But Donna, my middle sister, she would either be my friend or Terry's friend. But it was very rare until we were older that we were all three friends the same. And it actually took on different coping mechanisms. Well, I just didn't think Terry existed. I mean, it's terrible. She said, I never even thought about it till she was the one getting in her home saying, it was as if I was invisible. But then that made her overcompensate for trying to make sure she could prove that she wasn't invisible. And there's all the stuff we've all been through to get free. Do you see what I'm saying? But there could be a hurt place in you when you see someone befriending, hanging out with, whispering to, giving a gift to someone that you're close to or that you're mentoring, whatever the situation is. Many times, guys, especially as we grow up in the things of God, especially as we're getting mature in the things of God, okay, where we know that would be ridiculous, it's triggering a hurt childhood memory. It's not really about that. But if you stop for a minute and look at the feelings of it, if you stop for a minute and look at how suspicious it makes you, do you understand what I'm saying? You need to see this stuff, and you need to always take it deeper in your past, because it's really usually not about your right now, because truthfully, most of us have matured enough to be able to figure that out. But when it's overemphasized and God's really making a point, I always encourage you, get to the other side of it. And how do you do that? How does this make me? Don't blame the other person. If you blame the other person for the way you feel and you refuse to get rid of that, you're really at the wrong place. Because if you blame other people and you don't change, you become very divisive, okay? You become very divisive. That Jezebel spirit is going to get a hold of your bitterness. It's going to twist everything you say and everything you do, and you're going to feel like everybody's coming against you, and it's just, it's wrong. You can't continue to blame other people for the stuff going on in your heart. There's not a single thing that anyone could do wrong, even, that God's grace would not get you through and show you how to pray, show you how to bless, show you how to get above it. If you can't get above something, even if the other person isn't doing everything right, if you can't get above it, that's your issue. But if you can get above it, then you can pray and watch God take care of it. Okay, so when you can't get above something, it's not your husband who has the issue. He may have an issue, but God's dealing with you. There's freedom in that, folks. It means you don't have to change anybody else for you to be right where God wants you to be, for you to have everything God wants you to have, for no one can stop you from hearing those words, well done, good and faithful servant. No one can stop you from having the most awesome relationship with Jesus Christ that anyone in the entire universe has ever experienced. No one can stand in your way but you. And when you won't deal with those jealous areas, when you won't deal with those hurt places, you are allowing Satan to keep that bitterness in there and take it deeper. When you have an angry place, when you have a jealous place, you need to go to the root of bitterness because that's what is there. And bitterness is saying, God messed up. He did something wrong. This isn't fair. Where is the justice? And it's because you don't understand God. And it's because you attribute to God what Satan has done. How horrible would it be to be accused of doing something to someone you love that's absolutely false, and the person that set you up to get you accused is the actual one who did it? Well, that's how it is with everything bad that's happened to you. Satan has done it, but he set it up to make you think God has done it. And the whole church preaches doctrine based on that as if it's truth. I mean, I'm sure there's some people who don't, thank God. But there's a lot of wrong doctrine. God is a good God. All right. So I want you to keep track of these because when we do this altar call and go over this, you need to get all these. All right. Demanding exclusive loyalty. Envious, resentful if somebody gets something you don't get. Resentful that God's given me a nice ring. Resentful that someone else gets a new car. Resentful, like angry about it. Something in you just wants to get so angry. Why did I react like that? What was I really reacting to? What was I really angry about? Holy Spirit, take me there. Let me see it because I don't agree with it anymore. I don't want that spirit in there anymore. If you have a lot of rivalry between your children, you probably don't have authority here yet because you probably haven't taken it deep enough to get completely free. So you have no authority, so God doesn't reveal to you. You just can't understand how to go and help your children get free. So I encourage you to really go after, if you had strong jealous issues in your childhood, especially between brothers and sisters, because you're just going to put that on your kids. Until you, when you see it, you can break free from it. You can pray and you can watch God set him free. You know, there's just so many things with this jealous stuff you got to really go after. You know, sometimes you'll look at a family and it'll be as if one person seems to get everything. Or at least that's the way you see it with the logs in your eyes. You know, they have the successful business. They have the successful marriage. They have the successful children. They have the successful this, and they have the successful that. Satan wants you to compare good one, bad one. He wants to put this evil spirit of jealousy in your heart so that you act really attack people instead of going to God. And what it makes you really deep down is you're mad at God for not making you that person. Are not giving you what they have. And many times you dwell there, and if you get free from that and be who you are, that's where you're going to find peace. That's where you're going to find, you don't realize you really wouldn't want that lifestyle if it's not what God has for you. That it's an idol, it's bondage, that you really wouldn't want to go through the trials they've went through. You wouldn't want the temptations they're going to go through. You've got to understand, God knows everything about everything. So if he gave some of us the looks of someone else, we would go to hell with them. If he gave some of us the money that other people have, it'd take us to hell. God wants you to getting free from wishing that you had anybody's anything. And that you learn to be content to be who God's made you to be. And then let God bless you the way he wants to bless you based on his plan for your life, based on his glory, and based on everything he wants to do. Nobody knows you but God. Nobody knows everything about you but God. And jealousy is a spirit that's just constantly using your thoughts to cause you not to like yourself or to cause you to blame someone else or be angry at someone else. And there's so many stories. We're not even going to get into them all. I'm sure they're on some different teachings, but you've got Cain and Abel. It started like right away. You had Adam and Eve pretty much going there. Then you had Cain and Abel. And there's just a whole list. Somebody gave me a list. I don't know where they are, but somebody gave me a list of the different relationships where there was jealousy in the Bible. And it's just amazing how many Bible stories there are, and they're true situations that revealed the horror of jealousy. Okay. Exclusive loyalty, that's all that kind of stuff in best friend. You've got to be my best friend. That's all that kind of stuff in, I don't even let my kids say they have a best friend. You know, there's no such thing as a best friend. That means somebody else isn't a best friend. You have a friend. You have another friend. Different friends have different relationships with you. Different friends, God has different things for, okay? You should have one spouse. And you shouldn't envy somebody else's spouse or their relationship. Don't envy somebody else's relationship. Let God make your relationship what it's supposed to be. Boy, when you read this more and more, it's like, oh, okay. Now, envy means you want to emulate. We talked about that a lot. That you want to surpass others, be better than others, spitefully. Now, we didn't get into this last week, and I think we really need to get into this week, although it's only 9. We're okay. Spiteful. Spiteful is a mean spirit that hangs out with jealousy, okay? And a spiteful spirit purposefully is annoying and malicious. Its intention, the devil involved in this intention, is to bother you because you didn't do what that person wanted you to do, or they're jealous of a relationship that you have. An example could be you spent some time with one friend and you had a great time, and you, let's say you went out of town and you just had a really good time. And he came back, instead of the other friend being mature and excited that, hey, that's wonderful, you needed a break, I'm glad God blessed you, there is this underlying spiteful purpose, malicious. In other words, well, I'm just not going to answer the phone when they call anymore. I'm just not hanging out with them. In other words, I'm just going to cut them out of my life to punish them for going out of town with somebody besides you. And the sad thing is, this is not exaggerations. People, even adults, are this ridiculous because the enemy has put this deep, deep spirit of jealousy in us. We need to get it out. Just preaching this makes you see how messed up relationships are. Just preaching this makes you wonder how anybody can get along with anybody for any length of time. God wants us free, folks. He wants us free. Wouldn't it be great to be free? Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the relationship that you have with people that glorifies God exactly the way it is, without trying to compare it to other relationships, and really enjoy that person, and that person really enjoy who God's made you to be, without competition, without feeling rejected, without feeling superior, without feeling inferior? God wants us all free in these areas. But we really, really struggle with this because we've been on that silly old scale that's not even real, with a nasty devil whispering to us everywhere we turn. Do you know such condemnation comes out of jealousy? Such blame and really hatred. I did not realize until I started preaching this how much hatred and all these evil things is tied up in this. It's a horrible thing. We need to really hate it. We really need to hate the devil and get free in our thinking to enjoy each other, to enjoy God, to enjoy what God's doing, to be excited about somebody else's blessings, and then to trust God. We talked about this Sunday morning. I guess it was it this week or last week or some. I think it was last week. But there's, we ask, you seek, and you knock, and then God will take care of you, and he'll deal with your motives. And if your motives become pure, when you ask God, you'll receive. If your motives are right, and your heavenly Father, who knows everything about you, and he's working in your heart, he will give you what you ask for. He will let you find what you're seeking. And he will open the doors when you knock. Isn't that amazing? If your motives are right, if your heart is right, if you let God be in charge, he just wants to give you anything you ask for. So you don't have to be envious of what someone else has. You need to get your heart right and then ask God for it. You need to ask God for a new car if you need a new car. But your heart's not right if you see somebody else with a new car and say, they always get everything. Well, that's just not right. And I don't, the Lord's just put it in the heart. Some of you have been so conditioned by the enemy to want the scraps off of everybody else's table. And you've really bought a lie that if you don't get the scraps, you don't get anything. So you actually run after the scraps. You run after what's left over from somebody else's blessing. God wants to set you free tonight. He wants you to realize you don't need the scraps. He's got new cars for you if you'd really get right with him and ask. He's got the finances for the house that you want if you would just really trust him and ask. He's got good things for you. He's not asking you to have to run around and get scraps with greed. Some people are greedy and all they're looking for are scraps because they bought a lie that God isn't fair and they're not going to be able to get the nicer things. The truth is when you don't need the nicer things, God will bring the nicer things. And there's other people who are getting the nicer things, but they're going to hell with them. The Bible says it's harder for a rich person to get into the kingdom of God than it is for a camel to go through an eye of the needle. And God does not exaggerate. It means unless something supernaturally comes along and knocks a rich person upside the head and prayer doesn't intervene and stop all the enemy from destroying these people, they will more than likely go to hell. There will be more people who were poor on the earth in heaven than there will be people who were rich on the earth because they don't think they need God. They're going to be the ones who, because of prayer and whatever else happens, are going to find God in the middle of a horrible divorce. They're going to find God in the middle of a car accident. They're going to find God in the middle of sickness or something that money can't take care of, because that's the only way they're going to want God.